Hello and welcome to a very special edition of the End Zone Podcast. My name is Eric Jensen and I am joined by now, I guess, recurring guest. He joined us to talk about his Browns in August and he returns now to talk with us about the Super Bowl, NFL.com's Mark Sessler. How you doing, Mark?
Good. I don't know what I predicted for them in August, the Browns, but I'm sure it couldn't have been even close to as ugly as the final result. So
mine was worse. I said something like 10-6. So that went very poorly for me.
I think let's stop predicting Cleveland. We'll pick another team next August.
We'll talk something else next August. Well, we have you on here to talk a little bit about the big game coming up here in 2 weeks. Actually this week, because people will be hearing this week. So let's just get right into it. You're going to be in Minnesota. Are you looking forward to going?
This will be, I think, the fifth or sixth Super Bowl I've gone to. I feel super lucky to go, just like the rest of our podcast crew. It's an incredible week. You always fly home having seen things you never thought you would have seen. NFL luminaries, coaches, players from every team. It's an incredible experience. And, you know, I know Minnesota's getting a lot of heat and we're a little concerned about, you know, the weather, but sometimes these cold weather cities work extra hard to make it like a great fan experience. And I really do think that they're going to make it great. So we're fired up. I mean, there's a lot of hard work to do along the way, but it's so worth it because what you experience, especially being at the game itself, is totally otherworldly. So yes, I'm always fired up to go.
Awesome. Good to hear. All right. So let's talk about kind of the two teams. Of course, you have Tom Brady and the Patriots on one side. They're kind of boring, so I want to leave them for last. Like, they're not boring as in bad, but
we've been here with them.
Yeah, they're the same story every year, and it is every year now. So let's talk a little bit about the Eagles. Of course, lost Carson Wentz earlier in this season. Nick Foles went off in the NFC Championship game. I don't know if I can count on him to perform that kind of magic again in the Super Bowl. What do you think's going to happen in the Super Bowl, I guess I should ask? Do you think Nick Foles can kind of pull off this magical thing he does, like, every so often, like when he threw 7 touchdowns a few years ago, or when he was one of the best rated passers in the NFL with the Eagles back in 2013, I believe? Can he do that, or do you think he's going to fall back to earth a little bit?
I guess those games show you that when the ceiling is reached, it's Foles is a more than adequate quarterback who can win big games. So it's always the possibility, but it's clearly in a game missing maybe some of the narrative treasures of other Super Bowls past. It is a incredible mystery because no one really predicted what happened last week to happen the way it did, to the extent that it did. I really think that Foles last week was, and the week before against Atlanta when they beat the Falcons, it is the product of mistake-free football. He's done a nice job not turning the ball over, but really excellent coaching from Doug Peterson. And a lot of times when I see, you know, what's going to happen at quarterback X, Y, and Z, well, the problem is you're preparing against the Patriots, who find a way game after game to diagnose the opponent, not only before, but then also at halftime. And so for me, it's like, how do the Patriots prepare for what they've seen from Doug Peterson and the way he's attacked teams with his play calling? I don't think, to the question, in terms of Foles equaling what he did in the NFC Championship, no, I would say you're going to come down. You're going to have to find a way to win with your defense. You're going to have to get to Tom Brady, and you're going to have to lean on a ground game. The one thing that I thought was really positive was that, like, for instance, Zach Ertz really showed up last week. That chemistry had been missing. The wide receivers, who really had flatlined statistically, they all played a part last week as well. And you got some great running from LeGarrette Blount and from Jay Ajayi. So it's a team effort, and Foles, his number one job for me is do not put the team in hot water with bad turnovers.
Right. Do you think that last week was a product of bad defense or good quarterbacking? Because I watched that game, and it just seemed like, I've watched the Vikings a lot this year, and it just seemed like their defense totally fell asleep. Was it in your opinion, was, like, he played well, and I'm not denying that, but was this on Foles or was it more on the defense?
I think it's a little bit of both, because if you look at the last six quarters for the Vikings defense, it's 62 points given up in that second half to the Saints and last week against the Eagles. And Foles, who could not complete deep balls earlier on, it wasn't really even part of his repertoire. They were very aggressive. I think they took advantage of the fact that Andrew Sandejo was not healthy. They took advantage of the fact that Xavier Rhodes was dealing with a bum toe for most of that game. You know, these guys play through this stuff, but they're not the same defense. And I just felt like the Vikings defense kind of hit their peak in the middle of that Saints game. A fantastic first half, 17-0. They pitched a shutout against New Orleans, and then the whole floor fell out. And it's the Eagles have a lot, especially when they had Carson Wentz in there. They had like seven or eight guys that they could attack you with. And we finally saw Foles run that same offense. So to me, it was a little bit of both. It's never one or the other. It's a little bit of both, and they matched up well against a Vikings defense that had had better days.
All right, let's move to the Patriots just a little bit here. So the Patriots, we obviously know their strengths. It's Brady. We don't know if Gronkowski's going to play. I would assume he is. Do you think Gronk's going to play in this game?
I do. I mean, concussions, it's not the same as, you know, hey, he's got an ankle sprain and we're seeing progress, the boot's coming off and there's day-by-day progress. It's a mystery. But yes, because if it were a one-week gap, I'd be really concerned because he wasn't out there today. You got a whole nother week. The Patriots are probably going to keep this somewhat of a mystery up until the very end, but you'll probably get one of the NFL insiders to tell us by next, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, he's a go. And I do expect him to go. That's just a guess.
All right. Let's look at the Patriots. Their greatest weakness, let's start on offense. What is there a weakness to this Patriots offense other than hitting Tom Brady?
Well, it's not the same kind of weakness that you'd label for even 31 other teams. To me, there isn't. I guess if LeAdrian Waddle, for some reason, can't go and you've still got a third-string right tackle in there, and you're right, it's hitting Brady, but you know that offensive line is not a star-studded offensive line, and you're going up against a very good Eagles defensive front. That's where the mismatch for me would start and end. I mean, you know, you could say, they don't have Edelman, and maybe if Gronk didn't play, that would be huge. But everyone seems to fill in for a guy like missing Edelman. If Gronk isn't in there, they were fine in the second half. I honestly think even if Gronk doesn't play, I'm not overly concerned about this Patriots offense. They scheme and find a way to get, you know, what it would mean is Chris Hogan would have a game with 160 yards off nine catches and two touchdowns. Someone else fills in. So you can say there's a weakness for the Patriots on offense. I just don't see it.
On defense, of course, they have weaknesses earlier in the year. They kind of got it back to what we expect the Patriots to be mid-season, which is kind of a middling to good defense that's not going to lose you games. What did they fix, one, and what's the Achilles heel of the defense so the Eagles can try to get them to kind of revert to what they were at the beginning of the year?
I don't know. I don't think they're going to revert, but the eight sacks they had against the Titans might have been a little bit disingenuous for what they could do week to week. I mean, they need to get to Foles just like the Eagles want to get to Brady. You want to get Foles early, and then you could save the game. So I don't think their pass rush is guaranteed against a very good Eagles offensive line. In terms of their defense, what they fixed, one thing I always heard over and over reading those articles when you're trying to figure out week four, what's going on and what are the players saying, that it was a lot to do with, you had Stephon Gilmer was new, a lot of communication issues in the secondary. A lot of what happened was the big pass plays. And they've fixed all that, obviously. That's something that, you know, people that have been around the Patriots for a long time were not concerned about that in September, because this is something that, you know, this is a defense with some players growing together. They don't have a lot of stars on this defense right now. They don't, but that doesn't really matter because New England's system has been in place for 20 years, and they basically find a way by now, by February, they've done this a billion times, to really get everyone playing in unison. And so I don't see weakness in New England in general. It's like the fact is you have to factor in the plus of the coaching and the preparation over a two-week span to make up for whatever would be, I guess, weaknesses for another coaching staff on a short week.
What is the X factor in this game?
Well, for me, here's the thing. Whenever you look at the New England's path to the Super Bowl last year, in each one of those games, whether it was Chris Hogan, James White in the Super Bowl, someone else in one of the other, it's like they constantly surprise you with the one player that gets a massive amount of handiwork. And it was James White in the Super Bowl, and we're going into another one. An X factor for me, I think one of the players that they've been able to rely on is Deion Lewis, who's been one of the best running backs in the entire NFL. I think it used to be someone that you just look at as like a pass-catching satellite back. He's very versatile. He can be used in every possible way. And so maybe it's the game where they say, we're gonna turn Deion Lewis into this year's version of James White. And if they did not run the ball very well last week. There wasn't a lot of that going on. So I think they're going to want to establish that they can do both. And so I think Deion Lewis, because he can hurt you in so many different ways. The true X factor is Gronkowski, though, too, because if for some reason he's playing, but he's not really completely, now with a concussion, he shouldn't be cleared unless he is, but you just don't know. And so if Gronkowski's not fully Gronkowski, that's a bit of an issue, too.
All right. What is something no one's talking about this game that really hasn't been covered heavily in the media or has kind of been ignored for some reason that could have a major effect on the Super Bowl?
Well, I really think that these are two teams that are very consistently coached, and I don't think there's going to be something shocking that we're going to find out about on either side. The one thing that I wonder, and I'm not, I don't think it's going to impact the Patriots because this is just not who they are. But you have two coordinators, very likely, especially with, we know Matt Patricia's going to Detroit. He's spending time on the phone, building a staff. Sounds like Josh McDaniels is very likely to go to the Colts, something changing there. I don't, on the record, I would say maybe no impact at all. That's what you'd expect. They're going to go in and do as much as they would for anything else. But is it an all-in attitude when you're, if any amount of distraction at all during Super Bowl week is a lot to deal with, and suddenly you're a coach thinking about, 24 hours after this game, or a week from now, when you're preparing, I'm going to be, fielding my opening press conference with Detroit or Indianapolis. Like, you're a human being. You've got family to think about. You've got a lot to think about. It's like, could it possibly be a minor distraction? That's really the thing I can come up with, because in no other way do I see New England being distracted at all in terms of something negative that can impact them. Every year they come up with some Patriots, centric controversy to try to blow them off their axis. We've seen it over and over. Nothing works. So it would have to almost be something in-house. And I just don't see this game being one with a lot of overly dramatic storylines going into it, unless something comes out of nowhere next week.
Right. Okay, let's look a little bit past the game. Let's assume the Patriots win for some reason. I'm not saying they will, and I don't want you to make your pick yet. We'll save that for last. But let's assume that the Patriots win. Is there any chance at all, in your opinion, that if Tom Brady wins this Super Bowl, maybe this is the year he hangs it up and walks away?
My immediate response would be absolutely not, because I think that his entire career mission at this point and what his brand is based on, which is a huge part of who he is right now, is longevity. And if the Steelers were in the Super Bowl and you're asking me that about Big Ben, yes, I think that Big Ben would love to go out sooner than later. He doesn't sound like someone that wants to play forever to me. You could tell it was coming with Peyton Manning. We all knew that. Brady is putting out videos right now about preaching that he's the hardest working, most all-in quarterback of all time. He's not, 9 days away from announcing his retirement. I would be utterly stunned unless there was something to do with family that said, we insist you stop, and that's not the way that family seems to operate right now.
All right. Again, fast-forwarding way into the future, and this is kind of on the spot. No need to go into explanations, but a way, 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 way too early Super Bowl prediction for 2019.
Well, how about a rematch? Because for me, the AFC, I am tired of spending all year saying Team X is going to disrupt the Patriots. There's unless the coaching staff takes a major hit and they don't find a way to fill in the Josh McDaniel, the coordinator thing on offense, and I know they will. I think the Patriots go back for the AFC, and then you get this Eagles team, win or lose this time. What is going to be different about this roster? I mean, you're going to have another year of another draft, another year with this coaching staff, knowing its players, and you get Carson Wentz back. So I would just, my immediate prediction would be the rare but enjoyable playoff rematch. And this time around, if Philly were to fall this time, you'd have Wentz coming back. You'd be coming back with Wentz. That would, you know, that would be a juicy storyline.
Yeah, yeah, that would be kind of juicy. All right, the key for the Patriots to win this game is what?
Well, I think it's obvious, and it's just simply doing the one, keeping the one thing from happening that could change everything is when Brady in the Super Bowl, his two Super Bowls against the Giants, when you had that defensive line that could get to him and rattled him. He played that second Giants Super Bowl injured through the second half. He was not himself. That changed everything. I mean, if you can't get to Tom Brady, and this is, listen, this, everyone's going to be saying this, I get it. Like, this Eagles defensive line has a chance to do it. This is one of the better defensive fronts around in a long time. Very complete, very deep. And if they can't do it against a, you know, an okay Patriots line in terms of star power and names, I mean, they're very well coached. Like, this is your chance. Like, you got to get to them early. And that's your only way, I think, to get you get Brady off his axis, which no one's able to do. Everything changes.
The key for the Eagles to win.
Well, I think let's say that they can't get to Brady, okay, and they can't quite do what we just talked about, and they have to suddenly find a way to kind of keep pace. You need that ground game to do what it's done the last couple of weeks, which is take the ball out of the other team's hands with long 8-9 minute drives where you're converting third down over and over, you keep the clock going, and you're finishing drives with touchdowns. If it's LeGarrette Blount, we've seen it on the New England side, he's now doing it for Philadelphia. You got him and Jay Ajayi, and you've got just enough from Foles, and you play keep away. That's what I would say would be it, to give them a chance to be in it late, and you never know what can happen if they're still in it with 4 or 5 minutes to go in the game.
All right, who's your pick for this game? And give me a final score. You very famously predicted last year the first Super Bowl overtime of all time. Any overtime this time, or are we going to see a clear cut game?
No, I don't see that. Yeah, I don't think we're going to get overtime this time. I think it's going to be an entertaining game for three quarters or so. I'm going to go New England 27-17. I just don't feel like this is an Eagles team that's going to be able to do enough to surprise the Patriots in this game. That, who knows? I mean, but yeah, I think it's going to be New England, and not a romp or anything. Good football game, but no, this is theirs. This is their chance to continue to make history. As boring as people think the Patriots are, it's kind of incredible what we're witnessing.
And a final bonus question, is there any type of food that you really want to try in Minnesota that's just kind of, you know, a regional delicacy?
Like a local fare? You know, I am the worst. I'm essentially like vegetarian bordering on vegan.
Oh,
and
right,
like,
I forgot. Yeah. So you're a fruitarian.
You know, I hang with Greg and Dan, and those guys will probably be eating like smoked brisket and all sorts of like warm weather food. So I'll take some photos of that and share them with you. But like, my goal, honestly, because you come out of these weeks just feeling hideous sometimes, you're burning the candle at both ends, it's just to get on the plane home not with some sort of like killer flu. So I'm going to be careful about what I eat along the way. Sorry, that's not a very exciting answer.
Oh, no, it's fine. Well, thank you very much for giving us some of your time this afternoon, and maybe we can have you back on this off season before the draft, and you can tell us what you want the Browns to do.
Love it. I'd be happy to, and we'll talk soon. I hope you enjoy the game, and let's do it again before the draft.
Oh, and if you just wanted to give your podcast, the one of the best NFL podcasts around there, a shout out, and where people can find you on Twitter.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's the Around the NFL podcast. It's, you know, during the season, it's on Tuesday, Thursdays, and Sunday nights after the games. But during the off season, right, coming out of Super Bowl. Now, we'll have a couple Super Bowl shows, including one after the Super Bowl itself from the stadium. But we then shift into a Monday, Wednesday, Friday schedule for shows for the entire off season. And I'm at Twitter at Mark Sessler, MarkSessler. NFL, and you can find our podcast essentially at Around the NFL.
All right. We'll see you next time, Mark. Enjoy the game.
All right. Thanks, man.